The quarterfinals kicked off with a bang on Tuesday night. Two of Europe's most storied clubs put on a classic. Goals either side of halftime put Bayern in the driving seat, but Mbappe pulled one back to keep Madrid's hope alive. And in Lisbon, late drama as Kai Havertz found a winner on the night for Arsenal against Sporting. We'll get into it over the next half hour or so. Plus also there's a look forward to Wednesday night here on the official UEFA Champions League podcast. Natalie Sawyer, and welcome to the podcast. The dust is settling on two fascinating games in Lisbon and Madrid. Watching events in the Spanish capital, European football expert Kevin Hatchard is alongside me, as well as commentator Joe Shannon. And quite simply, we've been treated to two brilliant quarterfinals.
Anyone who's heard me on this show down the years will know every year when we get to the quarterfinals, I say this is the best level our sport has to offer. And I absolutely mean that, and I've been utterly vindicated again because technical quality, incredible coaching, world-class performances, this is what this stage of the competition brings every single year.
Instant classic at the Bernabeu, and we're only halfway through the tie, and a fascinating story unfolding in Lisbon. Two different games in some ways, but no difference in terms of how thrilling and how much jeopardy there was in both of them.
And the two UEFA player of the matches were both goalkeepers, Manuel Neuer for Bayern and David Raya for Arsenal. So what does that say?
Well, it shows you the attacking quality that was on show and how well those goalkeepers had to play to try and get the better of these attacking players.
For the 29th time then, Real Madrid and Bayern met in the UEFA Champions League, ready to write the next chapter in this historic fixture. Kevin and Joe were watching for Matchday Live.
Back to Kimmich, 25 metres out. Lovely ball in, Kane across, Upamecano couldn't bundle it home. They have it back, Real Madrid with Goulet, through to Mbappe, into the penalty area now, and Neuer makes a good save with his feet. Back to Gnabry, lovely ball, Diaz! What a wonderful goal! Really lighting up the Bernabeu with a free-flowing move. A marvellous, marvellous goal.
Lovely Bayern goal and a classic Bayern goal under Kompany. Always an option for the ball carrier, and they got that one absolutely spot on.
Elise sets up Harry Kane for the effort. Oh, and Kane has scored! Passes it into the bottom corner. What a wonderful hit from Harry Kane.
One of the best finishers on the planet. And from the moment that ball was rolled into his path, you had absolutely no doubt where that ball was going.
And he hits a lovely pass down the middle of the half volley. And Vinicius Junior's clear, only with Neuer to beat. Vinicius Junior hits the side netting. Here is Bellingham carrying the ball forward over the halfway line beyond Kimmich. Early ball, great touch by Mbappe. And Neuer makes a brilliant save again. Here goes Alexander-Arnold inside right channel. Low ball in, Mbappe right on cue. Surely over the line. The goal has been given. Real Madrid are back in the first leg, back in the tie.
It was a brilliant spectacle in Spain, and Bayern started the game really, really well. They were so dominant, and really, the press that they have caused Real so many problems.
Yeah, they were unapologetically Bayern. This is Vincent Kompany's team, you know, and the principles that he's drilled into this side in the last year and a half were there for all to see. The high press, commit men to it, take risks, push your defenders high. If they play through us, if they play over us, fine. We'll outscore them anyway. So then you push all the men to that. Then when you attack, you've got four, five, six men committed to the attacking line. Always an option for the man on the ball. And that was the case with both of the goals, really, that they scored, because it was all about, if I have the ball, who's around me? There's always one or two options. And Real Madrid found it really difficult to deal with that, as most teams have, to be honest, since Kompany got there. And I think this is a better Bayern team than the team that went out a year ago to Inter. Mm-hmm. I think they've learnt the lessons from that. And I think they're playing in a really cohesive way. And it says a lot about Real Madrid's quality that they hung in there and only lost by one.
But Real did grow into the game, Joe, and we saw some amazing moments from them, and Kylian Mbappe obviously scored in the second half. Obviously, Luis Diaz gave Bayern the lead just before the break, and then Harry Kane. What an incredible goal that was to start things off in the second half too.
A sumptuous finish from Kane, as we've seen so often this season. That's 49 goals for his club so far this season. One of a half century, even at this stage of the campaign, even by his standards. That is absolutely remarkable. Two wonderfully crafted goals. The first one I really like because there was an intricacy about it. The way that all of the four front men, if you like, were involved in the build-up to that goal. And then Kane, we've seen him do it so many times, running onto the ball on the edge of the penalty area. And he sort of swatted it beyond the goalkeeper, passed it into the corner. Really clever finish. But then, as you say, Real Madrid grew into the game as it went on. It felt like we were watching a one-on-one duel between Mbappe and Neuer at one point. And Real Madrid got themselves a goal that I think they'll feel they deserve. And they will have belief that they can turn this around.
And it was that reaction from Real going 2-0 down that was so important for Alvaro Arbeloa and his team.
Yeah, because a lot of teams would fold. 2-0 down at home early on in the second half against a Bayern team that's playing really, really well, but they made chances. And, you know, had Neuer not played as well as he did, and he nearly even keeps out the goal that Mbappe scores with what would have been just a barely believable save, then Real may well have walked away with a share of the spoils. But I think Michael Olise, we talked about Kane's finish, absolutely right, but A, for that second Bayern goal, they win the ball with aggression without the ball. Pavlovic wins it from Carreras. Then Olise, who for me, I can totally understand why Neuer won man of the match, but Olise was phenomenal. And the assist for Kane looks simple, but he's drawn three players towards him because they just couldn't handle him. And I've seen him do this to so many teams this season, because he plays with such an ease, such an awareness, such an intelligence. And Real Madrid were having to triple mark him at times. And that's what makes the space for everybody else.
Yeah, he was unplayable at times, it felt, in this game. But Manuel Neuer, as we've mentioned already, was the standout performer, the player of the match awarded to by UEFA. And it was his presence, the way he could position himself in goal, that really stood out.
I think there's a great mysticism about Manuel Neuer. The great Manuel Neuer fills the goal in a way that not many goalkeepers in the history of world football have been able to do. Yes, of course, physically he's imposing, but there's a gravitas, a feel about him, a confidence about him that he simply refuses to be beaten, even when coming up against some of the best players in the world. And you saw, as Kev was saying, how close he actually came to keeping out the goal from Mbappe anyway. I mean, it's point-blank range up against one of the best front men of this generation, and he got a big touch on it. I think it hit the underside of the crossbar,
yeah,
and
right,
ended up just bouncing down over the goal line. But at 40 years of age, I mean, you say that I was going to say that he rolled back the years, but he didn't really, because he's been doing this his whole career, even at the age of 40.
Yeah, and what it is that he gets in strikers' heads, because what they think is, okay, I've got to be so precise to beat him. I've got to find that top corner or that bottom corner. I've got to somehow knock it so far away from him that he's not going to be able to get there. And what ends up happening is that you don't hit the shot as well as you should, or you're trying too hard. There was one where Mbappe tried to bend it just inside the far post, and he started it so far outside the far post because he's thinking, this guy is such a big barrier, how am I going to beat him otherwise? That's Kylian Mbappe, one of the greatest strikers of his generation, thinking, how am I going to beat this guy? So really, really impressive from Neuer. Had his moments with the whole sweeper keeper thing, but again, that adds to the gravitas of it, because there's nobody on the planet quite like him.
And Vinicius Junior found out in this game that when Neuer stood up to him, it forced him to go wide.
That's a really good point, because that's the great underlining of what he does, because so many goalkeepers in that situation, so Upamecano tries to clear, doesn't quite get it right, Vinicius Junior races away. In that situation, so many keepers come out and they bring down the forward because they're panicking. And he says, right, I'll wait, I'll draw him wide. And he goes wider and wider and wider, and he can't get his foot around it.
They bring them down, or they dive in too early, right?
Yes.
And then he just scampers beyond them, and he's got an empty net. There is an eccentricity about Neuer, and I think all great goalkeepers have got that as well.
It's really interesting listening to his current understudy, Jonas Urbik, talk about him. Because one of the things he talks about all the time is he's obsessed with details. He's obsessed with the minutiae of goalkeeping. And that's what he brings to bear in these performances, because his positioning comes as standard. With a lot of goalkeepers, you know, they'll have to make spectacular saves or they'll have to really fling themselves at something. The amount of times that it looks like it just hits him, or he just punches it away and it looks like the shot's straight at him, that's because he's always in the right place, every single time. I really admire this performance, because the last time he came to the Bernabeu with Bayern, he made a mistake that he doesn't normally make and it cost them in the end. So for him to produce this kind of performance against that backdrop just shows, I think, his mental strength. And to do it at the age he is really quite impressive.
He's always had the technique and he's always had the personality, hasn't he, Kev? You know, ever since you were talking about those days at Schalke, you know, he fills the goal in more ways than one.
Personality is the word. One of his best ever performances was for Schalke early on. They replay it all the time. The number of saves he makes. I mean, that could have been yesterday, the performance against Schalke. Because it's carbon copy. It's exactly the same stuff. He's throwing himself around. He's in the right place all the time. Are you thinking, how is this guy doing it? And let's not forget as well, he came back from a serious injury that would have finished off a lot of players. I mean, the injury that he came back from, he had to put in so much work, you know, it was a really serious leg injury. For him to come back to this level, it's just beyond belief, really.
Well, he made 9 saves in this match, which goes to show the importance of his performance. And when you consider this is the most played fixture in the competition's history, when you look at some of the stats, it's so even, possession-wise, 50-50. When it came to shots, it was 20 to Real, 19 to Bayern. It was so tight in so many ways.
Yeah, and the impressive thing was that Real Madrid actually up the gears, I thought. They did put them under more pressure towards the end. What it did lead to was a couple of big chances, I thought, for Bayern in stoppage time. And I think when Kompany and the players look back on that, they'll think, we could have had an extra one here. We had a couple of really good positions. But Real Madrid had to do that. They had to commit, because they know going to Munich is tough. And they had to push for that second goal.
Well, how tough will that second leg be then?
I think really tough. I do think Bayern are firm favourites to go through from this position. I think it said a lot that when they went up to their away support at the end of the game, that away support were jubilant, because this was really important psychologically to get this win. Really important for Vincent Kompany. I mean, the players love him. You can tell. I mean, you listen to the way they speak about him as a coach. You listen to the respect they have for his playing career. And I think Bayern is so pleased with the job he's already done. He's already earned a contract extension. And what I think we're seeing is progression. Now, Real Madrid in the Champions League, never count them out. It would be utterly foolish to count them out, because that's the history and the competition they have. They have some of the world's best players. But Bayern are in pole position, there's no doubt.
148 goals they've scored this season, Bayern, in all competitions. That in 44 games. That is just simply incredible. When you're also considering, you mentioned Harry Kane, 49 goals this season, but players chipping in from all areas, no doubt, helping them to that incredible feat, as I've mentioned, of 148.
Doesn't really feel like it should be possible, does it? Yet they make it possible. I think through the tactical approach and something that we were talking about earlier as well, the belief that they can go and beat anybody, and not just beat anybody, whether it be in European football or domestically, but beat them 2 or 3. So if they do go 2-0 ahead, the message from Vincent Kompany is, well, let's go on and score 3 or 4. And actually, Kev, they could have scored 3 or 4 tonight.
Yeah, and it's that hunger that's really marked them out since he took charge, and he's used that word a lot. And the players have really embraced it. I think they enjoyed the style of football. I think they enjoyed the challenge of working really hard with and without the ball. Because with some teams that have technical quality, it's really hard to do that final bit, which is to find the physical bit and to be really aggressive. And I think that's what he's done this season. He's dialed up the aggression. He said, right, actually, we need to be more physical. We need to make it even harder to play through our press. We need to be really at this constantly. And they've been able to do it to a really impressive degree. In German football, in the Bundesliga, they're going to break a single-season goal-scoring record that stood since 1972. It's one that they hold as a club already, Udo Lattek's team, that was a phenomenal team. They're going to break that, and they're going to break it with room to spare. This is a team doing things in German football that haven't been done before, and there's every chance that they could do a treble.
Yeah, quite incredible, isn't it, what they are achieving. The return leg between these two comes next Wednesday, kickoff at 9 p.m. CET. Next on the podcast, we'll break down tonight's other quarterfinal and look ahead to two more on Wednesday.
Take UEFA Champions League Match Day live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats, and much, much more. Get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
The night's other quarterfinal saw Sporting host Arsenal in Lisbon. Sporting were featuring in the last eight for the first time since 1983, whilst the Gunners were looking to build on an undefeated record in the Champions League this season. Watching events in Lisbon was Matchday Live's Rob Daly, and he joins me now. And it was a late winner for Arsenal that sealed victory for them over Sporting after Kai Havertz once again delivering for Arsenal yet again, Rob.
It certainly was, Natalie. Look, it was an Arsenal performance that needed that moment of individual quality. It took them 43 minutes to get their first attempt on target, and that was largely down to the quality of Sporting. They had a really good first half. They had an excellent opening 15 minutes, and we'll come to that shortly. But ultimately, that squad depth that Arsenal had came to the fore again, because Mikel Arteta refreshed the entirety of his attack, in essence. He brought on Max Dowman, he brought on Gabriel Martinelli, and he brought on Kai Havertz. All of those three playing behind Viktor Gyökeres. And sure enough, in the 91st minute, it just looked like it was going to peter out to 0-0, and it was all to play for in North London next week. But suddenly, Martinelli cuts inside, an unbelievable ball over the top. Kai Havertz made the run from deep. There hadn't really been an Arsenal player making that run from deep into the penalty area. Suddenly he did, tucked it away, and it's his third goal in four Champions League games since returning from injury. So Kai Havertz, look, a player who's won this competition, coming out with the goods, and a major win for Arsenal, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, we talked in the build-up how difficult Sporting have been to beat at home. Five wins from five in the Champions League heading in to this first leg of this quarter-final showdown. And they'd certainly showed early on why they have been so tricky to beat.
Yes, and in part, I'd say, down to the atmosphere at the Estadio José Alvalade. Look, the teams came out. It was deafening in there. It was deafening. And at kickoff, the fans were in full voice and you really felt the atmosphere. And Rui Borges, the Sporting head coach, had called on the fans to really turn up to create a historic night, a really special night, in his words. And they went about the task brilliantly. They were very comfortable on the ball. Arsenal sat off defensively. Crowd was nice and loud. An unbelievable ball from Usman Diomande got in behind Arsenal's back line with the outside of the boot from inside his own half. Bent in, and Maxi Araujo, the left back, who was a constant threat getting forward in attack, smashed an effort onto the bar. And you knew the save from David Raya was good because you only noticed it on replay number three. He tipped it onto the frame of the goal. Brilliant strike. Sporting with a couple more openings there. Then Arsenal settled into it. But then in the final 15 minutes, they chucked on another striker and it looked like Sporting were going for the win. So they had their moments on the night. You can see why they've beaten the likes of Paris Saint-Germain and Marseille and Athletic Club this season. But Arsenal just had that edge in the end.
Seeing some of the reaction to the victory, Kai Havertz has been speaking about the performance of David Raya. You just mentioned him there. He says, for me, the last two seasons, he's the best keeper in the world. And it certainly feels as though this evening was a performance like that.
Yeah, I certainly think he's in that category now of, who would we say, Thibaut Courtois, Gianluigi Donnarumma. And there's no doubt for me now that David Raya is amongst the best goalkeepers in the world. Bear in mind for him, given that he didn't play in the English League Cup final against Manchester City, given he didn't play against Southampton in the FA Cup of the weekend, that was his first appearance for Arsenal since March the 17th, just through just through selection, through rotation, as Mikel Arteta has used. He did play briefly for Spain during the international break. He had a start against Egypt. But my word, Natalie, there have been, and I've covered many Arsenal games this season, there have been a number, for all of the defensive quality that they have, they reinforced with further centre-backs. Time and time again, David Raya is the player to pull out the big save. Not only did he make that save early in the game, he was sweeper-keeper for a breakaway moment where Sporting could have been in. He made three excellent stops into the final 15 minutes. And it's clear why Kai Havertz thinks that. He is outstanding. And the kind of goalkeeper you need, if I think back to Paris Saint-Germain last season with Donnarumma, the kind of goalkeeper you need if you want to win the Champions League.
Sporting, no doubt, will rue a few of the opportunities that they had. And at times, you've mentioned it already, when they were on the ball, they looked so controlled. And they looked quite exciting going forward as well. But looking ahead to that second leg in London, what do you think both sides will have learned about each other?
Well, it was, at times I'd say it was a cagey affair, Natalie, in truth. Neither team wanted to be the one to really take the risk. Arsenal were waiting for the game to evolve before working out how they were going to play it. So these are, and in essence, these are two teams that know each other relatively well because they met in the league phase last season. Arsenal beat them 5-1. They met in the Europa League mere three seasons ago. So this is two groups of players that know each other well. What I think Arsenal will be aware of is that Sporting will be stronger going into the second leg because their captain, Morten Hjulmand, will be back from suspension. He missed the game today. And crucially, Luis Suarez, their top scorer, 33 goals, did not get a booking, which would have ruled him out for the second leg. So Luis Suarez will play the second leg in North London, certainly to lead the line. From Arsenal's point of view, they'll be a bit different as well because the hope is, and Mikel Arteta has spoken about it, that Jurrien Timber, that Bukayo Saka will be back available because Arsenal do have some absentees right now. So I think Arsenal are well aware of Sporting's quality, but they're so good at home, Arsenal, you'd have to have them now with that 1-0 away lead to be in pole position to reach back-to-back semi-finals.
Rob Daly, thanks for joining us on Matchday Live. Great to get your thoughts on that victory then for Arsenal at Sporting. Let's hear from a very happy Arsenal boss, Mikel Arteta.
Yeah, I think we have to reveal ourselves today, and I talk about identity and other things that we are as a team, that I definitely saw that tonight. It's half-time, we are a step closer, now we need to finish the tie at home in front of our people, and if we do that, we're going to start to dream.
And they continue their unbeaten run in this Champions League. They take a 1-0 lead then into the second leg in North London next Wednesday. The fun continues on Matchday Live this Wednesday with the two remaining quarterfinals as four more giants of Europe go toe-to-toe.
Early ball into the penalty area. Ramos has turned it in! Can you believe it? The European champion strike right at the end.
This is Salah territory, gets it back from Pierce, curls it, it's a beauty!
Up towards the edge of the penalty area, shoots right footed, oh my goodness! That's as explosive a goal as you'll see, and Barcelona have two!
And then the effort is smack goalwards, and then, oh, Llorente's hit it in! Absolutely incredible! Marcus Llorente has blasted Atletico back level at Anfield.
Doué steps up and scores and sends Paris Saint-Germain through.
We know that we are capable of everything. We can do it because we already did in the last year.
To be fair, they haven't dropped their standards.
It's hit by Szoboszlai! What a great free kick! Low underneath the wall and into the bottom corner.
Firmin returns it. Rafinha takes his time. Rafinha picks his spot. Advantage Barcelona big time.
Only as a team we can winning the games and winning the titles. We know that we have a lot of hard work to do this season.
Comes in field, wins the challenge, shoots, scores. What a goal! Julian Alvarez has made it 1-1. That is a super goal.
Step by step, game by game, you know, we need to be ready for that.
Adebola Lookman is ready, and so are we. Two fascinating ties to look forward to then on Wednesday night. And here on Matchday Live, we'll bring you updates of the all-Spanish encounter as Barcelona take on Atletico de Madrid. And we don't have to go too far back for the last meeting between these two sides, given that they faced each other at the weekend, Kevin.
Yeah, they did. And Barcelona were able to win it with a late goal from Robert Lewandowski. They had to come from behind. Atletico have played them four times now, and they've only won once, but the win that they did get was 4-0, and it set up their Copa del Rey semi-final win, so they got through to the final of that competition, and Barcelona didn't. I think it's about Atletico staying in the tie. I think they will be so focused on trying to bring it back to the Metropolitano still intact. They left out some key players at the weekend. We heard from Ademola Lookman, he didn't start. Julian Alvarez didn't start. They've got that ability now to rotate. They've got that ability to shake things up. And they won't go into it with fear, but they'll go into it with plenty of respect. Lamine Yamal at the weekend was outrageously good. He was so good. And he was actually really frustrated because he wasn't able to score. And Hansi Flick had to explain afterwards, why was he so annoyed? He said, because he played so well and didn't get the personal reward for it, and he wanted the team to win even more comfortably. So, you know, this is a real test for Atletico, but it's a fascinating game because they've played each other four times already.
Mm. And as you were just pointing out, most recently at the weekend, Barcelona won that one 2-1 with a late winner from Lewandowski. And let's hear from the Barcelona manager, Hansi Flick, who expects yet another close encounter between these two.
I think this is totally different because it's Champions League. Every team has to play on the best level. It's important that we are playing our style. We are playing our style. Everyone is included. Everyone is ready. Everyone wants to show in the defense, but also in attacking, that he's a part of this fantastic team. Atleti is a tough team. They have the right attitude. They have a lot of intensity. They have fast players. They have fantastic players on the pitch. And you also saw it on Saturday, though they rested many players, but they also, the quality was very high. And they love to defend. They know how to defend in the deep block. It will be a lot of emotion and emotions in this game because they are two legs. We try to give our best to get a good result.
I should say goals dominated the last 16 for both of these teams, with Barcelona beating Newcastle 7-2 in the second leg of their tie, and Atleti were 7-5 aggregate winners over Tottenham. So more goals to come. Kickoff is at 9 p.m. CET, but our main commentary here on Matchday Live comes from Paris as they take on Liverpool. The defending champions beat the Reds in the knockouts on the way to the title last year, and their manager Luis Enrique has been speaking about how this season's matchup compares.
What I have to say, or what I can analyse, is same teams, but at the same time different teams, because the process this season is different for both, and everybody is looking forward to analyzing who is the favorite. And I think it's not important who is the favorite. I think there is no favorite in those kind of matches. What I can see is it's going to be a difficult match for both teams, but I think they are a good team, best side. We are ready. We are excited to play in that match, and we'll see if we can qualify for the next round.
That win over Liverpool last season, it feels, proved to be the catalyst for Paris as they went on to lift the Champions League trophy, Kevin.
Yeah, it was the launch pad. It gave them real belief. I mean, they were playing the Premier League leaders at the time and a team that went on to win the Premier League title. And for Liverpool, you know, that was a really tough defeat to take because they lost it on penalties and they found it really difficult this season. I think some of their best performances have been in the Champions League this season. We saw what they did against Galatasaray at home in the previous round, turning that tie around in style. They are capable. They've been to Marseille and won. They've been to Milan and won against Inter. They're difficult places to go and win. Paris, I find fascinating because I still think there's another gear that we haven't seen yet, because they were super clinical against Chelsea, but Chelsea actually in the first leg played okay, and then Paris were able to blow them away towards the end of that first leg. Monaco had 10 men in both legs, and Paris weren't quite at their best level but found a way. So really fascinating game, I think.
We do know history tells us that there are always interesting nights that involve Liverpool in the Champions League.
I think Arne Slot nailed it in his pre-match press conference that so much of the great successes of Liverpool's history, be it domestically or in European competition, have been built on great comebacks. What Liverpool do have now in terms of their realistic aspirations to win a trophy is the focus on the Champions League. Of course, domestically, they'll want to finish in the top four or top five to make sure that they're in the competition by default next season anyway. But it's a special competition for Liverpool. They've won it on six occasions before. There'll always be belief among the quality of players that they have at the club that they can go and beat anybody. And Arne Slot, I think, has also said that Alexander Isak may well be available. So that is a timely boost for Liverpool. I think I have to agree with Kev, though. You know, the difficulty will be going somewhere like Paris. Yes, they give you chances, and you know, it's the nature of the style of play, but they were so ruthless against Chelsea, particularly in the latter stages of that first leg, and early on, obviously, in the second, where they killed off the tie completely. So it's going to be tough for Liverpool, but it's always possible. It could be a cracking tie.
Matchday Live will keep you updated on all of the quarterfinals on Wednesday. A reminder of the first set of quarterfinals and how those finished in the first legs. Arsenal picked up a late win at Sporting to take a 1-0 lead into the second leg. And Bayern München were 2-1 winners at Real Madrid. So, Joe and Kev, it's always a chance for you to pick out your moment, perhaps, of this evening.
I'm going to go for Michael Olise's assist for the Harry Kane goal because it just underlined the incredible role he played. He drew three players towards him and then was able to still find the timing to slip it to Kane for the goal. So just underline what I thought was an extraordinary performance.
Well, as a member of the Goalkeepers Union, I'm going to give it to both goalkeepers. David Raya for that double save late on. That double save was before the winning goal, wasn't it, from Kai Havertz? So it was even more crucial. And then Manuel Neuer, the personality, the character, the technique, the quality that he showed. He can do it for another 40 years, as far as I'm concerned. It looks like he hasn't aged a day.
The Probably question could. Is, could you, if you're part of the Goalkeepers Union?
Definitely not.
Well, we're going to be goalkeepers at the end of season.
I'm told.
Matchday Live Bash, so we've been inspired, haven't we, Joe?
I think I'll be the cheerleader on the touchline, nothing more. That wraps things up for this evening. It's been a phenomenal start to the quarterfinals in this year's UEFA Champions League. We hope for more of the same on Wednesday. Matchday Live will be back on air from 8:45 Central European time with full commentary of defending champions Paris versus six-time winners Liverpool. Make sure you join us on the Champions League website and app for that. Plus, we'll bring you updates from Barcelona against Atleti. For now, from me, Natalie Sawyer, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.